This podcast may contain explicit language that may not be appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. We do talk about a lot of sexy things, make inappropriate comments, and we have all the spoilers. Today we are doing cross-country Christmas, so if you don't want to know what happens during cross-country Christmas, maybe pass on this one and we'll see you next time. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Are you ready for one dry kiss?
Yeah!
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent Hallmark romance recap podcast, where we recap a jingling, jangling Christmas in July Christmas movie, an episode, if we're in July. I would like to introduce my Chris Mad stocking co-host, Tamara Cosio.
And I would like to introduce my fa-la-la lovely holiday aficionado co-hostess with the mostest, Curran Edding.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you. I have so many warm fuzzies.
You just take that warm fuzzy and you put it right on that Christmas tree because we're knee deep in it. Fourth episode, Christmas in July. Yes. We're almost at the finish line.
We
got to make this one count.
Yes. We're in the final stretch of our Christmas in July series. Today we are doing Cross Country Christmas. And my lovely co-host Tamara chose this movie. Why, pray tell, did you choose Cross Country Christmas?
Because I love Rachel Lee Cook.
Me too.
And she did not disappoint.
No.
She was fantastic.
Amazing.
Do you have a synopsis for us today?
I do.
Oh.
We are about to open the final present in our Christmas in July series. Our final offering is Cross Country Christmas. Two acquaintances from the same small town run into each other on a flight home. Lena, played by the amazing Rachel Lee Cook, is a creative solutions specialist who hasn't been home in ages due to her very busy schedule. Max, played by Grayson Holt, is a successful tech developer who hasn't been home since, well, since the incident. What is that incident? Well, he doesn't want to talk about it. Thank you very much. Their flight gets delayed due to a huge winter storm and hijinks ensue as they run into one obstacle after another trying to get to Bridge Falls, Colorado, a.k.a. Canada, a.k.a. home.
A.k.a. Hallmark Town.
A.k.a. Hallmark Town, thank you. There are planes, trains, automobiles, carols, and cows all involved in their quest. There is a shitload of stress and some sweet surprises. Will these things bring them together or tear them apart?
Will they
make it back to their families in time for Christmas? Find out with us as we don our coats and gloves, grab our carry-ons, and prepare for departure to a cross-country Christmas.
You just knocked my socks off with that one.
Your Christmas socks? Are they Christmas socks?
Obviously.
Of course. Do you and your Christmas socks have some fun facts for us, Corinne?
Why, yes, we do.
Oh, I was wondering why you're reaching behind you. Oh my God, those are so adorable.
Right?
Of course, Corinne has Christmas socks at the ready that she just showed me, and they're covered in the cutest little fuzzy bearded Santas I've ever seen.
Fun facts. Rachel Lee Cook is one of the executive producers of this movie.
She sure is.
In the nativity scene, a producer asked her to flap her arms less because she does appear in a nativity scene in this movie. And when she comes in, she sweeps her arms out and she flaps them up and down like she's a winged creature. But she is not a winged creature, but it's amazing. Anyways.
Why would they want less of that? I don't understand.
I don't understand either. She said she'd try, but flapped away on the next take. Ha ha.
You got those big sleeves, you gotta utilize them.
I know. And, final fun fact, for a lot of the driving scenes, they used LED screens instead of a green screen to show the scenery going by. So the stars, Rachel and Grayson, were able to see what was going by them as they, quote, drove.
I have to say, I did not notice that. Usually when they have green screens, I'm like, fake, 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 fake.
That's because it wasn't a green screen.
It wasn't a green screen?
No,
or it was?
It wasn't. It was an LED screen. So it was actually playing the footage.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. People should just
adopt that LED screen over the green screen, then I think.
It's pretty fantastic.
Because it was not noticeable. Yeah.
So, those are my fun facts. I am ready. I've strapped on my seatbelt. I have grabbed my carry-on luggage. I have my peanuts and my beverage at the ready. My tray table is up. I'm ready to depart on the trip that is cross-country Christmas.
We open with a very 80s credit intro where an animation of a plane flies in with the word cross. A truck comes from the opposite side with country and finally a train with Christmas. And they all form the shape of a tree and a little gold star twinkles on top.
Ooh.
Super cute, very John Hughes. I enjoyed that a lot. Then we see Lena walking on a busy street, talking with her fam, making plans for a very long overdue trip home to Bridge Falls for Christmas. She's petite, has shoulder-length wavy brown hair, and is wearing a sensible gray trench coat over a black t-shirt.
Is she wearing pants?
I didn't see the pants because it was only the top half of her body.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna venture a guess. There was no pants involved.
That makes sense.
She was walking ass out on the New York streets.
In the middle of winter.
As one wants to do.
As one wants
to know. She's her own person. I said she's pretty amazing. She doesn't need pants.
Nope.
Lena wants to squeeze as many Christmassy things as she can this week into this weekend, and her mom and very pregnant sister are already in the kitchen baking treats. Greg Hooper is also coming, Mom says. Didn't you date him once?
Ugh,
Lena says. I'd hardly call that a date. We went to one dance once, and there was a group of us. As she continues down the snowy New York street, she passes a man getting out of a cab, also on his cell phone. I'm just doing some last-minute shopping, he says. I'll meet you at D'Artagnan's in 10 minutes. Who is this? Someone who is integral to the plot, I ask? But we don't know yet, because we're back to Lena, who has just asked to be the godmother of her sister's baby. Of course, Lena exclaims. Great, she says. And by the way, we also asked Greg, your not boyfriend that you never went out with, to be the godfather. Okay, Lena says, but they can't discuss it right now because everyone's got to go off and do some more Christmassy things. Lena makes her way into a restaurant where her two friends, Allie and Dana, are waiting at a table. They exchange pleasantries and she produces two sparkly bags for them. I bring gifts, she announces. Her friends are confused. They were supposed to go to dinner that night and exchange presents then. Lena apologizes. My flight is so crazy early to go back home, and besides, I would have just been a fifth wheel. Since both y'all are coupled up, you'll be fine without me. Now open your presents. We don't see what they get. Corinne, thoughts?
Oh, yeah. One of her friends, she bought a really cute scarf, and the other one, she bought a nice pair of earrings.
I'm going vibrators. She bought her friends vibrators.
Oh, yeah, that's the common. Okay, so do I have a vibrator story to tell?
Oh, goody, 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 goody.
So my sister, she liked to make soups. One year for Christmas,
oh God,
I bought my sister an immersion blender. But an immersion blender looks a lot like the Hitachi magic wand, which is this jackhammer, quote, massage-like device that people frequently use for sweet, sexy times with each other. Now, I don't want that anywhere near my vajay because that is a lot of pounding action that I just don't need. But she opens it, thinks I gave her a fucking giant vibrator for Christmas, and is like, awkward.
Was this in front of your parents?
Yes, yes. This was in front of my parents. She's like, I don't really think. And I saw the look cross her face, and I was like, it's an immersion blender. It's an immersion blender. And she was like, oh, okay.
Oh, all the sweet, sweet I told you so's I would give her for the longest time. You think I'd get you a vibrator, Bridget, in front of our parents? Seriously?
No, no. That would not be happening.
And now we're back from our little detour into the vibrator world.
Yes, you started it.
Well, I thought the first thing when she's like, they didn't open it, I can't see what they're getting. I'm going to assume vibrators. That's where my mind goes. The handsome stranger from the cab enters the restaurant, and we learn that his name is Max, and he is there meeting his coworker, Jack. Max is sporting a dark navy blazer over a royal blue button-up. He has light brown hair that he styles high and to the side. He's also carrying a sparkly gift bag. "You shouldn't have," Jack exclaims. I didn't," Max says, moving the bag away. "This is for my mom." "Ugh, shame," Jack answers playfully, "because I do look great in sapphires." Just then, Max's phone rings. Speaking of the devil, it's his mom. "Your brother will pick you up from the airport tomorrow," she informs. "Yeah, Mom, about that." He puts on his best "I'm so busy" voice. I was thinking of coming after the weekend to avoid the crowds." His mom protests, "Your father's dinner is on the 24th, and I could really use your help with it." "Okay," he sighs, "I'll figure it out." He turns to his coworker. "Sorry, gotta cut this short. I'm going home to Bridge Falls after all." And for all the excitement Lena had about going home, Max has an equal amount of reluctance. So, Corinne.
Yes.
Throughout the movie, we have the date and countdown days until Christmas. So, I need you to help me out.
Okay.
I want you to say it in a special kind of voice that I'm going to select specifically for you.
Wow.
Using your skill set.
That's so generous. I should probably apologize for my Southern accent in the last episode. Suddenly it's all like coming back to me.
We don't do great accents on this show. Okay, Corinne. Bostonian accent. You're a mechanic with a golden heart. Oh, wait. No, we already did that. We already did that in Wedding Every Weekend. Okay, so we'll try something fresh this time. I want you to say, in the Karen Kilgariff, "I'm drunk and I'm whispering you a secret" voice.
Oh! You mean you want me to say the date?
Okay. Let me tell you something. I can tell you a secret. It's December 20th. There's... Five days until Christmas. Shh. Secret.
Oh, that was so worth it. Back to the story. The next morning, Lena's getting out of a cab, still talking on her phone, but this is a client call. The cabbie unloads her suitcase onto the snowy street, and just then Max, there he is again, pulls up. He's also on a businessy call, and his cabbie unloads his identical suitcase next to hers. The two notice each other, and there's a moment of recognition, but they just brush it off, take their bags, and go their separate ways. I have a running diatribe how that would drive me crazy, because I would absolutely 100% notice somebody with a similar suitcase next to me, but I will not get into it.
They were involved on their phone.
It doesn't matter. I could see somebody that has something in the same color story as my suitcase. My suitcase is green. And if somebody had a suitcase that's even remotely close to green, I am tracking them throughout the airport as they take their bag in, like examining it to make sure it's not mine, because I am just hell-bent that somebody's going to steal my suitcase one day.
When you have it in your hand, you're like... Yeah.
Why are you staring at me? Did you steal my suitcase? It's in your hand, ma'am. Oh. Sorry, have a good day. Merry Christmas. But that whole suitcase debacle wouldn't have mattered because they wind up on the same plane anyways. Lena's sitting on an aisle seat when Max comes up to her. "Lena Gordon?" he exclaims. "From Bridge Falls High?" She takes a beat, but it eventually comes to her. "Oh my God, Max Cooper!" She gives him a good once-over. "You've grown up."
Mm-hmm.
"Yeah," he confirms. That does tend to happen." "Well, me too," Lena agrees. "Well, I mean, I've grown up in years, but not in height. But I'm still hopeful." They smile as he takes a seat behind her, and just then a flight attendant comes and Lena says, Hi there. Is there any chance I could get one of those eye mask thingies?" "Sorry," the attendant says, "those are for first class only." "Of course, sure, I understand. By the way, I know you guys are working so hard, so I brought you these." She pulls out a festively wrapped bag of treats and says, "Please share these with your crew."
"Yay."
The attendant thanks her and says, "Oh, that is so sweet. You know, let me see what I can do about that mask." A minute later, she returns with one and gives it to Lena, much to Max's surprise. "Excuse me, can I get one of those too?" he asks, but the attendant apologizes. "Sorry, sir, that was the last one." She leaves, and Max says, "Whoa, that was really smooth. How'd you do that?" "Well," Lena admits, "you gotta know how to talk to people, and candy helps. It's what I do for a living. I'm a creative solution specialist. Anybody that has a problem, I can creatively solve it for them." She hands him the masks. "By the way, I got this for you. I remember how fond you were of naps in high school."
Huh.
Max declines, a little miffed. "Thanks. But I already had, like, 2 lattes. Lena takes it back and asks, "What are you doing in New York anyways?" Max tells her how he lives here. And Lena's surprised. "I thought you'd stay in Bridge Falls forever and take over the Cooper family farm. How is your family anyways?" she asks. "Oh, good. Good," Max says brusquely. "You know what? Can I get that mask after all? I'm starting to get a little tired."
Mm-hmm.
She hands it over to him with a smile, and he puts it on, ending the conversation.
Tired of being asked questions.
Yeah, I was like, "Shut the fuck up and give me that mask." They take off and are in the air for a bit until the captain announces that there is a storm on the West Coast and they are being rerouted to the beautiful, fun-filled state of Ohio.
Ooh. In the Torrance, Ohio airport, Lena tries using her charm on the person working behind the counter, but the person informs her that all flights going west are grounded due to the storm and all buses are booked. Lena is struggling to admit defeat when Max passes by and says, "You all out of candy?" with a chuckle. Oh, Max, just grinded and salt in the wound. Lena resigns herself to finding another way home and asks where she can pick up her luggage, only to find out that her luggage is who knows where, and she'll have to fill out a form to get it back. Lena's mom calls her. "Mom, I'm in Torrance, Ohio," Lena says in despair. "Oh, honey," says Mom on her cell phone speakerphone. "I just saw the news. That's why I was calling." In the background, Lena's sister Sammy says, "Where'd you put the molasses?" And Lena's family Christmas senses perk up. "Did you say molasses? Are you making the gingerbread house without me?" She is so disappointed. Sammy shouts from the other side of the kitchen, "We're just starting. We haven't decorated or anything." Lena feels left out, but understands. "Just save me part of the roof to decorate, okay?" They agree, and with that, they say goodbye. Lena approaches Max, who is waiting in the rental car line. "Hey there, you come here often?" She says, "I've got the best idea. We should share a rental car. One, you know me. I know you. Two, I know where you live," not in a threatening way, of course, "and it would be silly of us to follow each other back home in our own cars." Max kind of just wants to be left alone, but it all becomes a non-issue when they get to the front of the line and they're all out of rental cars. Lena says to Max, "That's fine. We're going to figure this out." Max looks at her beleaguered. I don't think we will," but Lena forges on. "You didn't even hear number 3. I'm a solutions specialist." And at this point, I'm surprised she doesn't manifest wings on the both of them to fly them back home to Colorado.
Lena might not be able to do that, but Rachel Lee Cook sure could.
She was manifesting those wings in the nativity scene that we're going to come up on.
Oh.
Lena approaches a man in a business suit and asks for a ride. He scoffs at her and keeps on walking. Max wanders up to her. "How's that working out for you?" Lena responds, "Just getting us a ride." Max says, "Yeah, thanks for thinking of me, but I'm going to try a different way to get home." He walks off and calls his brother Curtis. "Hey, where are you?" says Curtis. Max replies, "Ohio. My flight was grounded due to bad weather, and I'm just trying to figure out a way to get home." Curtis wishes him luck and then says goodbye. Lena, still on a quest for a ride, spots a forlorn young woman with braids and a full elf costume, including ears. Lena approaches her. "Are you okay, elf friend?" The elf responds, "I've been stood up by my boyfriend. We were supposed to fly to Chicago together to visit my family. I drove myself to the airport, but now my flight is canceled. I don't have a boyfriend dressed up like Santa next to me to balance out this look, and I feel like a fool."
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. Lena reassures her, "I'm sure he has a reason. And you could always just drive." The elf looks at her dubiously. "By myself?" Lena jumps at this entry point and says, Have you ever wanted to be an Uber? The elf says, no. Lena throws her another alternative. What about a fun road trip? We could be like Thelma and Louise. The elf is not swayed. Oh, no. I know how that ends. I was like, a bad example? Yeah. I personally would have gone with Boys on the Side because they have an epic road trip in that. But...
And they don't wind off driving off a cliff until they're dead.
Yes.
Not a great selling point.
Not a great selling point. Yeah. But Lena is undeterred. It's about friendship. How life can throw us a curveball and together we can make it home. The elf is still not convinced. That's a different Gina Davis movie. Lena pivots again. You're right. We are in a league of our own. I feel like fate has brought us together. You need to go to Chicago and I need to get further west. So what if we did it together? The elf perks up. A road trip? I'm in. They jump up in the air and do a freeze frame high five. We next see them crawling in traffic, trying to get out of the airport. Lena introduces herself, and it turns out the elf's name is Morgan. As they're sitting in traffic, Max walks in front of their car talking on the phone. Lena rolls down the window explaining to Morgan that she knows him. Hey, Max, how's it going? He looks over at her irritated. Good, I'm talking to the cab company, he says to her in a don't bother me tone. Just then, the guy on the other end of the line says, sorry, due to the weather, all of our cabs are booked up. I can't get you a ride. Max thanks the dispatcher and hangs up. Can't get a ride? Says Lena, hanging out the window. Max very nonchalantly responds, oh, there's just a wait. Lena pivots back towards Morgan the elf. What would you think of giving my friend here a ride? Morgan looks dubious. And Max ducks his head down to window level. I don't need a ride, he shouts into the car. Lena continues, undeterred. I can totally vouch for Max. He's a great guy. We grew up together. Max ducks down again. I'm not getting in the car with, he gestures towards Morgan the elf. Lena looks up at him earnestly. I don't think you have any options. This is all part of the adventure. Morgan nods her head enthusiastically. I agree, says Morgan. She's on the adventure train that Lena started. Choo-choo. Max says, I feel that's what is said to someone before they're murdered. Lena rolls her eyes. Come on, it'll all work out. And he finally relents and folds himself into the back seat, telling Morgan, thank you.
I would be saying the same thing if I was Morgan. Oh, you conveniently have somebody that you know from childhood outside of my car as we drive away. Really? Gonna play that card? Okay. I see you, Lena. I see you.
Morgan glances back at Max, who has his murder backpack with his duct tape. And no, I'm just kidding. Morgan glances back at Max. How'd y'all meet? Max says, kindergarten. Lena shared her Lunchable with me. Lena is surprised. Huh. And now we're sharing a ride. This is what we call in the biz a full circle moment.
Oh.
Later, they are finally on the open road. Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long. Max is nervous because Morgan doesn't have winter tires and she's not keeping her eyes on the road. She's too busy processing. Max, Morgan says, have you ever been in love? She looks at him. Yeah, several times. Then she thrusts her hand into the back seat. But have you gotten love you forever and ever tattoos? She waves her tattooed hand in front of his face, distressed. Max quickly responds, no, could you please pay attention to the road? Morgan puts her hand at the 10 and 2 and stares forward, but continues talking. Right before we left, Sebastian, a.k.a. the Santa to my elf, texted me. Turns out he slept through his alarm, and I said I never wanted to see him again. Lena looks on in shock. Wait, why would you do that? Morgan says, I didn't know what to do, so I just reacted. What if him doing that means he's actually not interested? Well, I mean, if there's a pattern, sure. You know, if he really cared, yeah. He would have, like, made sure that he was there. Standing up your girlfriend on, a super big trip to meet the family is kind of huge.
Sometimes it's unavoidable. Like, sometimes you can't. Like, his electricity went out. His alarm clock turned off. It didn't go off because it was no fault of his own.
Everybody uses their cell phones.
He could be an 80s purist and not have a cell phone.
Nice. Oh, I think that you and Sebastian would get along just fine.
I love the 80s.
Lena immediately goes into problem-solving mode. I get that you're feeling rejected, but it seems like he made a mistake, just like Tamara said. Morgan suddenly is awash in the, oh shit, I made a mistake feeling. And Lena continues. Mm-hmm. You're like, yes, Morgan, you did make a mistake.
You're being a little harsh, Morgan. A little harsh.
Let's see how you feel when you're stood up in the airport wearing an elf suit. Just saying.
I don't even want to talk about it because that one time that you were 25 minutes late to pick me up from the airport and I was calling your phone frantically because I thought you were dead on the side of the road. And you're like, what? I just turned off my ringer.
I was like,
calm down.
10, maybe 15 minutes late. I was not
25
minutes late.
25. You better believe I know exactly how late you were because I was freaking out.
Anywho, Lena continues. You need to talk to him. Tell him how you feel. Let him do the same. Figure out where you actually stand and then go from there. Give him a call. She thrusts her finger inspirationally up in the air. Morgan reflects and says, Sebastian really is the greatest, but I'm not going to call him. Suddenly, both Lena and Max get looks of horror on their face. Before they know it, they've been deposited at the closest town, Cedar Hill, Indiana. They both act like it's totally okay that they're being dropped off in the middle of nowhere, and Lena leaves Morgan with some inspirational words. Go get the guy! Max and Lena have been dropped off in front of a tree lot. Max is miffed, but Lena assures him, I know it's not ideal, but our karma is gold. Max now has to cancel the Chicago car rental reservation that he had made when he still had hope in his heart. Lena cases the area for a solution. Just then, the sign on the tree lot catches her eye. Buy a tree and we'll deliver it, she reads. Ding! She tells Max, I've got an idea. Max responds, No. Please, let me figure this one out. But Lena doesn't hear him. She's already jogged off to find the purveyor of trees. Lena walks down a path of trees and stops when she sees a gentleman loading trees into the back of a vintage green truck. Hi, I'm Lena. I just read the sign that says you deliver. The man turns to her with a smile. Hi, I'm Joe, and yes, where do you need the tree to go? Lena responds, Chicago? Joe chuckles good-naturedly. I'm sorry, but that's the next state over. He throws another tree into the back of the truck. Just then he winces and supports his back. Lena, ever the person to make herself indispensable, says, oh, here, let me help. And she starts throwing a random tree in the back of the truck. Joe stops her. Hold on there a minute. That tree doesn't need to be delivered. But I'll tell you what. If you help me with my deliveries, I can drop you at the train station where an express train stops. Max approaches on the tree-lined path. He's on his cell phone, finding out that all the buses are full. The three of them triangle up, and Lena says, guess what? Joe here is willing to give us a ride to the train station. Max introduces himself, saying, thank you. And Lena points to the three of them. And now, just like that, we're all friends. Joe chuckles, great. As soon as we get these trees delivered, you'll be on your way. And Max is like, wait a minute. I'm sorry, deliveries? But what choice does he have? They all pile into the car. Lena and Max deliver the trees, and Joe drops them at the Cedar Hill train station. Lena profusely thanks Joe for dropping them off and wishes him a happy holiday.
A little later, Max comes out of the train station and triumphantly holds up two train tickets. I even got us our own sleeping cars. Great, Lena says. Let's get some food to celebrate. But
There's a dining car on the train, too, he offers, but she needs a chicken club sandwich stat. So they go back into the station to get some grub. They're seated in a festive enough looking diner with two of the saddest Wonder Bread non-club looking sandwiches in front of them.
So gross.
Huh. I know. I was like, I wouldn't eat those. It looks like worse than school cafeteria sandwiches.
I used the word anemic. It was like mayonnaise on white bread with a slice of processed cheese. And that was it.
Yeah. I think I might have seen some lettuce, but it could have just been something else gross on the plate that resembled lettuce. Huh, Lena examines. Well, it's not D'Artagnan's. On 12th? Max asks. Yeah, I go there all the time. They realize that they live and work in the same neighborhood, frequent the same spots, but never ran into each other. Max shares that he moved to New York a few years back and got into the tech industry. And Lena got into creative solutions specializing because she likes bossing people around and feeling superior.
Oh, wait a minute.
Actually, no. She said she said she likes helping people. As they eat their sad sandwiches, she reminisces. Remember that time we all went to the drive-in movies and your dad showed up looking for you and he put his high beams on, but you didn't want to leave, so he just kept circling and circling? Yes, Max says seriously. I wasn't allowed to stay out late because I had farm chores at 4:30 in the morning. That's why I often fell asleep in class. I know most people thought I was a slacker, but I was just exhausted. Lena realizes that she had huge misconceptions about this guy when a train whistles in the background. Oh, no, she exclaims. When did our train get here and why is it leaving? They hustle to pay the bill, gather their things, and jump on the train just as it's leaving the station. They giggle about their near miss as they walk through the cars and quickly realize that instead of being surrounded by red velvet chairs and a dining car, they are surrounded by bare train car walls and hay. They slowly realize they just accidentally jumped onto a cargo train. Lena, trying to be optimistic, says, well, it could be worse. Just as they hear, coming from the darkness. That's a cow, Lena whispers, and Max says, yeah, thanks, Sherlock. They find a light, switch it on, and assess the situation. They are in a freight car, and in the back of it, there is a black and white cow giving them the eye. Oh, dang it. Well, at least are we still going west? Lena asks. But Max pulls out his phone, only to discover that it's dead. Oh, don't worry about it. I'll check mine. She rifles in her purse and pats down all her pockets before realizing that her phone is lost. Oh, no, 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 no. We have to go back, she says frantically. And jump off the moving train, he asks. There's nothing that could be done. They are at the mercy of the tracks. So they get friendly with the cow and build makeshift beds. Lena builds a little nest and says, ever so optimistically. Well, this isn't too bad. Nope, Max agrees. I'd say it's at least, smush, 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 500 hay count. And they hunker down for the night.
Aww.
The next morning.
Wait.
What?
Now I get to tell you how I want you to do the date.
Oh, Jesus.
So, this is a Christmas movie. And you know what exemplifies Christmas movies? Bells that jingle. How would you say the date if you were a jingling bell?
I hate you so much.
It's either that or doing it like a cow. But the other one would come back around anyway, so.
Chinka, 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 24th, 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 24th,
question. That was beautiful.
I was perfectly clear. Uh-huh. I was perfectly clear.
Uh-huh. We'll play that back. See how clear you actually think it is.
After the third go round, I'm sure people picked up on what I was putting down. It's hard saying it like bells. It's hard.
I appreciate your effort. I thought you did great.
The next morning, the train pulls into a small, remote, snowy town. Max and Lena are sleeping still when they stop at the station, and a little boy about 10 and a girl about 8 years old, who are bundled up against the cold, stand at the open train car door and observe them. "She looks like Mary," the little girl says. "Yeah," the boy agrees,
But his hair, he motions to Max, is too short to be Joseph. The little mini casting directors are interrupted when they start stirring awake, and the kids call their dad, who walks up to see the commotion. Ugh, Lena says embarrassed. This isn't what it looks like. Really? The dad says. Because it looks like you're hitching a ride with my cow. Oh, then it's exactly what it looks like, Lena corrects. They explain their situation and introduce themselves, and they find out that they were discovered by Sarah and Ryan and Josh, who's their dad. Josh hates to tell them, but they are at the last stop for the cargo train. This train and the cow took them to the illustrious town of Hollins Pass, Missouri.
Mm, sounds glamorous.
Sure does. Looks glamorous, not. They ask if there's a bus depot around, and Josh says, no, the closest is about a town over. Well, how about a phone? Max offers, and Josh looks down at little Sarah, who smiles up at her dad and nods. Do y'all like pancakes? Dad asks.
Yes.
Max and Lena smile and drive off with their new friends to eat, rest, and regroup. Or get savagely murdered by a man with farm equipment who uses his kids to lure strangers into feeling safe and takes them back to their home and just members them.
Nice. I like that we're staying with the serial killer theme here. I appreciate
always,
that.
Always.
The truck and trailer pull up to Josh's, Sarah, and Ryan's farm. Everyone tumbles out of the truck and they're greeted by Beanie the dog. Sarah takes Lena into the house to clean up while Max helps Josh and Ryan with Cassie the cow. Ryan proudly tells Max, our cow is named Cassie because she looks so much like our Aunt Cassie. Everyone chuckles. Sarah and Lena go into the house, and it's Christmas. It's a Christmas wonderland. Garlands with twinkle lights are around the door frames and windows. There's a large tree in the living room that is fully decorated. Lena looks around in wonder. Your house is so cozy, and your tree is so beautiful. Sarah proudly says, we decorated it ourselves. Sarah runs off and quickly returns with a fluffy towel and a sweater. She lets Lena know the bathroom is upstairs and that she can borrow her sweater if she likes. I wonder how Lena wearing a 7-year-old sweater is going to go. After Lena has showered, she comes downstairs to the kitchen wearing Sarah's tight-fitting fuzzy bear Christmas sweater. The sleeves that would have been otherwise full length are 3/4 lengths on her.
She's rocking that sweater pretty well.
She's rocking it. Fantastic in that sweater, and she actually fits it better than the guy from the Christmas house when he's in his high school sweater.
Oh. No, she doesn't. That was a good visual, that guy. Her medically sealed shirt. Oh.
Pancakes, she exclaims. She'd eat anything, but after that anemic sandwich at the train station, those pancakes looked like they were sent from heaven. Josh says, after breakfast, we'll see if we can get you on that bus. Lena is so grateful. Thank you so much, and your kids are amazing. He looks at her. Those kids are everything to me. It's been rough these past few years doing it on my own, but we get by. Where'd the mom go? She buried somewhere on the farmland? Did she go to get cigarettes? Or is she dieted? We don't know.
ODK pro tip. Just say the mom's dead. Just say she's dead. Just rip that bandaid off quickly. Jesus.
You can say passed away. That is still an explicit way to mention dead mom. Just saying.
You could say kick the bucket if you want to go that route.
You can say dead as a doornail. Who knows?
Just not left or gone. That's just too ambiguous.
This one doesn't even say left or gone. It just says doing it on my own. Why? How? Where? What? When? Suddenly, their conversation is interrupted by Sarah and Ryan running into the room. Sarah exclaims, Dad, Max is famous. He made the Farm Barter app. Wow, exclaims Josh. I use that all the time. Lena says, Max, you never said anything about that. That's cool. Max plays small and deftly switches the topic. Oh, it's not a big deal. Nice sweater, by the way. He gestures at Lena's sweater with the fuzzy Santa hat wearing bear with a background of big glittery stars. Josh chuckles. Don't you worry, Max. I have one of those for you, too. It's later in the day, and Lena is on the computer when Josh approaches wearing a red and white zigzag sweater with a giant llama front and center on it wearing a red scarf. She swiftly closes the laptop, and he asks, "Were you looking at the bus schedule?" Lena tells him, "Don't worry, I got this." Max responds, "So far, you're batting 0 for 2, so do ya?" Just then, the kids run in. They need help with the nativity play. The llama isn't behaving. Max jokes, "Maybe it got cold feet." No one laughs. It's no joking matter. Josh enters and says, "My friend can help with the bus situation, and he's on his way over for the nativity play." Lena says, "Thank you," but there's something bothering her. This nativity play. Are Max and Lena about to miss out on an opportunity? Sarah turns to her dad. "If they're staying for the play, do you think they can help?" Lena has been preparing her entire life for this moment. "Of course!" The kids cheer and run off to get ready. Lena turns to Max. "Wow, those kids really twisted our arms. There's no way we could have said no." Max looks concerned. "Uh-huh," he says, not convinced. "What did you sign us up for?" Lena responds, "I don't know, but if animals can do it, so can we." Max is dubious. That evening, people are gathered in Josh's barn. It's festively decorated with garlands, wreaths, twinkle lights, and a big Christmas tree. Bales of hay are set up for people to sit on. Itchy. There are about 15 people, and everyone is in the outdoor winter gear because cold. Josh stands in front of everyone in a burgundy button-down shirt with a festive Christmas tie. "Welcome," he says, "to the annual loose retelling of The Nativity." Beanie the pup sits bewildered in a wooden crib as baby Jesus. Sarah and Ryan are standing there as shepherds. There's a cow in the background as well as three wise men, one who is holding a sheep. Everyone claps. Ryan reaches out his hand dramatically. "We are the mighty shepherds," Sarah whispers loudly. "It's just shepherds." Ryan refutes that. "Dad says we can be whoever we want to be." Sarah ignores him. She says, "Here are the three wise men, and where are Mary and Joseph?" Just then, Max, walking royally, dressed in sheets and towels, Joseph and Lena, dressed in a white and blue sheets, dramatically strut onto the stage. Max actually looks tinkled. Oh my gosh. Max actually looks tickled, and I'm loving it. Lena gestures dramatically, flapping her arms around. "Hi, shepherds. We hear there are three wise men." She flaps her arms like a pair of wings. "Bearing gifts." Max chimes in. "Yes. Where might them thine gifts be?" One of the wise men gives Gary the goat a little scooch, but Gary just runs off the stage. Everyone laughs and Josh covers his face, marveling at the shit show. Sarah looks earnestly up at Lena. "What are we supposed to do now?" Lena, spurred into action, grabs Beanie the dog and says, "Behold our precious baby," holding him aloft proudly for everyone to see. Everyone claps and Sarah the shepherd says, "We need to capture this moment," reaches into her robe and grabs a cell phone. Max bends down. "I don't think there were selfies in." Lena hushes him. "Just go with it," she whispers. Sarah stands in front of Max, Lena, and Ryan, holds up the camera and orders, "Say sweet baby Jeebus." They all say it. The selfie gets snapped and the nativity scene comes to a triumphant end.
I loved your emphatic arm gestures, how you were mimicking what was going on in the screen. Nobody else could see it, but it was glorious.
Thank you. You know, every once in a while I have to channel a little Rachel Lee Cook into my life. I feel like I've got a little bit of her spirit in me. Just call me Rachel from now on, really, is what I'm saying.
And thank you for listening to One Dry Kiss with Tamara and Rachel. How's that? That's good?
Yes. It's the end of the evening. The kids are sleeping. Josh has retired to his room, and Lena is having a video phone conversation with her family in the bathroom. Lena's family is decked out in matching snowflake Christmas jammies, drinking cocoa, and playing charades. Lena wishes she were there, but can't blame her family for enjoying themselves during their holiday time together. She updates them on the trip and running into Max. Suddenly, Greg's face pops into the screen.
"Hey, we were just talking about when you're coming home," he says with a big smile on his face.
"Fuck all. Greg gets to play charades with my fam, but I don't," thinks Lena. She smiles stiffly back at him. "I'll be home soon, Greg." Mom points the phone back to her face. "I hope you have a good night's sleep. Thanks for calling. Love you." And with that, they get off the phone, and Lena's heart is breaking even more.
Poor Lena.
I know. It's so
stupid
hard.
Greg.
Oh, Greg. Like, it's one thing to have her family doing it. It's another thing to have this guy that you have absolutely no interest in whatsoever participating while you can't.
Ugh. And it's quite another to have your mom be like, "Say hi to Greg." "I don't give a fuck about Greg, Mom. Can you turn the camera around, please?"
At least he wasn't wearing matching pajamas. That would have really tipped it over.
"You take those off! You take those off right now! What are you doing with your pajamas? Those are my pajamas!"
Lena returns back to the bedroom that she and Max are sharing. Don't get the wrong idea, gentle listeners. The only kind of bed they're sharing is a bunk bed. Max has overheard some of the conversation and says...
That could be fun in itself, though, if you think about it.
Squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
You could do some acrobatics on that bad boy.
Oh, you're taking it to another level, Kama Sutra style. Hey.
Don't I always?
Max has overheard some of the conversation and says, "Who's Greg?" as he flips nonchalantly through a Christmas children's book on the bottom bunk. Lena pauses before climbing to the top bunk and flopping down on the bed. "Nobody but Max. He has a feeling." He sets down the book. "I'm thinking it's Greg Hooper. You used to date, didn't you? I clearly remember seeing you on the Ferris wheel at the fall fair." And gentle listener, as we all know, if you go on a Ferris wheel with someone, that automatically means you're dating. Practically engaged. That's why I haven't been on the Ferris wheel with anyone. No engagements over here. Single tear.
Lena is appalled.
"Oh my goodness, no, we never dated and I'm not interested. We went on one group date to the fall fair, but that's it. I don't even have time for dating." Max parries back. "That's just an excuse." Lena seizes the opportunity. "Are you dating anyone?" There's a pause and then Max says, "No, I'm busy with work." Lena thinks, "A too, Brute," but she takes the high road. "I'm happy with my life. It's full, and I'm not interested in dating someone just for the hell of it." "Amen, sister." Enjoying the intimacy of being able to talk, but also be in their own spaces, they start opening up. Max responds, "I understand. Ideally, you want to find someone you have a connection with. Someone who you can share your life with." Lena stares at the ceiling, melancholy, wondering if that will ever happen to her. "Right?" she says with a tinge of sadness. She pauses and changes the subject and leans over the top bunk to look at Max. "When I was little, I would try staying up all night because all I wanted was to catch a glimpse of a reindeer, especially Rudolph, because, you know, the nose and all." Max makes eye contact and smiles. Their gaze softens and they have a moment. Then Max responds, "Well, you got pretty close to the wise men and Gary the goat." They chuckle and Lena says, "Right." She lays back down and shouts down to him, "Try not to snore." And with that, they go to bed.
Well, we have another day countdown, Corinne.
Oh, hi.
Yes. I am thinking I need you to do this like the Count from Sesame Street.
Oh, I got this. December 22nd. 3 days till Christmas.
Yes. Too easy. I'm going to have to really like ramp it up. Next time, it's your turn. Ramping it up. Right now it's your 10. Put it up to 50. The next day, Max is helping the kiddos feed the cow. They round the barn to find Josh shoveling stuff we don't see. I'm going to guess it's shit.
Yes.
But whatever it is, it's surely farm-related. Max asks him Say, do you know where Lena is? And Josh says, oh, yeah, I took her to the bus depot first thing this morning. Max looks flabbergasted. Wait, you mean she left me? Josh begins to slowly nod his head as he says, well, you're going to have to wait to see what he says because we are going on a break.
Ooh. This week is your final opportunity. The last time we will be pitching the need for Christmas bingo suggestions. What kind of things do you see in Hallmark or cheesy movies that typically turn up in their Christmas ones? Let us know.
Oh, I know.
Oh, what?
Santa's pulling down their beards.
Oh, that's a good one. Santa's pulling down their beards. And also, we still have one more pick that we will be sharing after this episode.
And we want to know if you have any holiday festivities that not many people would know outside of the locals. We would love to compile a list on our website.
Yes.
So if you think you have something noteworthy or fun around the holidays that your town or city does, please write to us at onedrykiss@gmail.com and let us know all about it.
When we last left off,
Max was abandoned at the farm in Missouri. He looks up into the sky. He shakes his fist in the air and says, curse your sudden and inevitable betrayal. Oh, wait, never mind. Because just then Lena pulls up in a cargo van. It's painted black and says Chuck's Deluxe Pet Grooming in big letters across the side with an illustration of a poodle. What is this? Max asks with a concerned look on his face. It's a new car, Lena says happily. I thought you were getting bus tickets, he contests. Not going into the grooming business. Everything was sold out, Lena explains. So Josh had this brilliant idea to hook me up with his friend who sold me this van for a steal. Josh waves good-naturedly and Max is dubious, but he has no choice. They hug Josh and the kids goodbye and head off in the very noisy van. Doesn't it handle like it's on the rails? Lena asks. No, it actually handles like a microwave, Max says seriously. Lena has had a full helping of shit-talking and says, I feel like you're mad that I got us this dope-ass van. I'm not mad, he protests. More like, he chooses his words carefully, mildly impressed. As they drive, Lena asks about the farm app he invented, and Max explains that it's an app where farmers can barter and trade farm gear. That's really cool, Lena says. Are you impressed? He asks. She smiles and says, mildly.
Nice.
As the farmland rolls past, not on a green screen at all, Lena asks if he misses farm life. Yeah, I guess, he says dismissively. And then, hey, why don't we just listen to some tunes? Lena makes a mental note. No home talk because he constantly shuts that shit down and plays a kicky rendition of Jingle Bells as she dances on her seat.
Yeah, it was like it was done by the Ronettes or something like that. It was so cool.
Yeah, a Ronette wannabe Jingle Bells. They bond over Christmas tunes and sandwiches that Lena packed for the trip and get all the way to Kansas before Max asks, oh, where did you get these sandwiches? He takes a huge bite. She shrugs and says, I just found them in the back. He turns a little green, but she smiles. I'm joking. I didn't find them back there. I bought them. She says, they certainly aren't my mom's Christmas cooking, but they will do. You know, I called my house yesterday, she continues, and my parents were playing Christmas charades and wearing matching pajamas.
Oh, knife through the heart.
Ha! Max laughs. You really dodged a bullet there. Lena shoots him a look and he realizes, so you felt left out? Yeah, Lena confirms. I just don't get home that much because I'm so busy and I really miss those things. Are you though? Max asks. I think we choose our priorities.
Ooh.
I find that people make space for the things they want to fit in their lives. That's ridiculous, she says. Just as the truck decides to take a shit on them. It makes a horrible rattling sound and they pull over on a deserted country road just in time for it to die.
Aww.
Max accuses her of buying a lemon, and she insinuates that his driving was the culprit. They bicker about positivity and fault, and Lena turns the argument into an attack on her priorities. "I am not going to apologize for putting my clients first," she yells, much to Max's dismay and confusion. She hops out of the van, opens an umbrella, and stomps down the road. Max calls after her, "It's the middle of winter and you don't have a cell phone!" But she is undaunted and continues on her way.
You go, Lena.
She gets
you
a little ways down. I don't know. I think she's a little, he touched a little nerve there. It was hitting too close to home. Was why else would she fly off the handle like that? I'm just saying.
I agree. But I also think that she's under a lot of stress right now. You know, my parents and I, we do a really good Christmas. And we have, like, different activities that we do. And it's a lot of fun. And if they were having all of that without me, I would have such a hard time keeping my big girl pants on and not being like, "You guys are doing Christmas."
Well, I don't know about your Christmas family celebration because I have never been invited before this year.
Oh,
so
you have been invited. You're just too cool.
No. I would be there with bells on. I have hinted many times. I'm like, "So, Corinne, what are you and your family doing this Christmas?" Winky, winky, winky.
Well, you just put your Santa hat on because this Christmas, I'm not playing with your heart. Instead, you're coming to my family Christmas. And if you don't come, I'll be crying and it's going to be sad. Could be sad.
You know what that sound is? That's the sound of me already leaving the house and getting in the car right now.
I'm like, "You're a little early, but I'll take it."
Job be damned. Make sure I get there on time. A couple of months early, but you know, whatever.
Be prepared.
Lena gets a ways down the road before a hard stomp breaks the heel right off her boot. "Ugh. Oh, crap," she says, and assesses the situation. Middle of nowhere, can't walk in her shoes, hashtag fucked. A little ways in the distance, a tractor pulls up. She motions it, "Go around, go around." She's too preoccupied with her shoe to notice that it's Max driving the tractor. "Max?" she says, relieved, but then steals her resolve. She's mad at him. "I'm sorry," he says as he turns off the motor. "I didn't mean to insinuate about your priority." "It's fine," she says, not making eye contact. "Helping myself has never been more satisfying." "By the way, where did you get that tractor? Did you steal it?" "No," he says. "I rented it off my farm trade app. Just had to give the old farmer a hand job and it was mine."
Wow.
I'm sorry, I forgot I wrote that in my notes.
Otherwise, I would apologize beforehand.
He didn't say that. Yeah. That's why I laughed after instead of before. I apologize. He did not say that. I just turned it into a rated R podcast. Lena smiles at his ingenuity.
I wouldn't really call giving handies ingenuity. That's like one of the oldest kinds of trades of history.
I call it handy. Putting on my serious face.
You're so serious.
"Come on," he pleads. "Let me make it up to you. I have a plan." She looks at him, cocks her head to the side, and says, "What's the top speed on this thing?" Because she is on board. They chug down the road. Coincidentally, his cousin's house is close by. It's a beautiful gray colonial-style home with a four-car garage. Max admits he used to be close to his cousin but hasn't talked to him in years. Lena tries to dismount from the tractor seat, but her butt seems to be frozen. She loses her balance, stumbles a little, and Max catches her.
Aww.
They have a little moment. Look into each other's eyes, just as his cousin Daryl and Daryl's wife Sheila make their way down the driveway. They're a biracial couple. Max hugs Daryl and laughs. "I thought you were kidding when you called." Sheila and Lena make introductions as Daryl eyes the tractor.
Okay, wait a minute.
I wasn't kidding.
So, Sheila looks like the coolest person that I have ever seen in a Hallmark movie ever.
Oh.
Can we be her friend?
I don't know. She doesn't have a big enough part to know what kind of person she is, sadly.
I can just tell by her outfits and her hair. I'm just saying is all.
Daryl eyes the tractor. I wasn't kidding, Max says. By the way, are you still a mechanic? Yes, Lena adds. Our dog grooming van broke down 5 miles that way. When did you get into dog grooming? Daryl asks. You know what? Never mind. Let's go inside and talk and get you guys warm. They go inside, and Sheila obviously likes Christmas, too, because there yes. are holiday decorations everywhere.
Everywhere.
Fluffed garland with ornaments, a Christmas tree, and lights upon lights. Oh, once they get inside, Sheila looks at Lena and asks, so, how long have you guys been together? Lena and Max both say, oh, no, at the same time. It's not like that. We just know each other from town and happen to be traveling together. Nothing to see here. Move right along. Well, Daryl says, I hope you guys at least like barbecue, because in spite of it being winter, they are making a Christmas brisket outside.
Oof.
Don't take off your coats, he says, as he makes his way out. Barbecue? Lena in her frozen butt asks. Yeah, Sheila says, already heading out back. It's right out here by the fire. The word fire perks Lena up, and she hobbles after them with her broken heel, saying, fire, 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 fire. Outside, around the pit, the guys are reminiscing about holidays past, and Sheila asks Lena if she's been to Max's family farm. Oh, no, she admits. We really didn't know each other that well back home. We didn't, Max confirms. But she did run for class president that 1 year, and I voted for her. She looks at him and says, you did? With the beginnings of little hearts forming in her Ooh. Eyes. I lost, but I didn't know that. Yeah, he says, nodding. You really seem like you cared. He smiles a crooked smile back at her while his cousins look on with knowing looks on their face. They saw those hard eyes. Well, Sheila says, since the guys are going to be fixing the truck tomorrow morning, do you want to go shopping or something? Oh, yes, Lena says, relieved. The airline lost our luggage and I've been wearing the same chonies for days. She doesn't say that, but that's my observation because she probably didn't have extra chonies in her pocket. Unless she also borrowed them from that little girl.
Ooh, no. I think that they put their clothes through the wash when they stayed over there.
Mm.
That is why okay, she changed okay. into the sweater.
Oh.
Yes.
Gotcha. So she was sans chonies the whole time she was walking around in that scene?
Yes. When she was Mary, she was just like being free and breezy.
This is how they did it in biblical times. What? You don't mind, she asks Max. He shakes his head and Daryl agrees and explains, it'll give me and Max time to catch up, which will be nice after, you know, everything that's happened. Lena hears this and a questioning look flashes across her face, but she lets it go as they continue making their plans. Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Comes on the radio and Sheila says, oh, I love this song. Come on, everybody, let's dance. And they do. Both couples dance into the night around the fire pit, and I've done that in a room full of people and have been the only one dancing in spite of all of my coaxing, and I think I need more Daryl and Sheila's in my life.
And me.
Oh, and Corinne. Yeah, you were never there when I was trying to coax people to dance yeah. because you would have got right up along with me.
It's true. I'm a dancing fiend. I'm a terribly dancing fiend, but I'm a dancing fiend regardless. Tamara,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going all in on the holiday spirit here, and I'm lobbing you an easy one this time.
Oh, you're so kind.
I would like you to say the date as if you were Mrs. Claus.
Mrs. Claus.
She has a cup of hot cocoa in her hand. She's got okay. her little, like, floofy cap thing on. Some little tendrils of white hair curling around her face.
Ooh.
She's ready for the holiday season.
Well, hello. It is December 23rd, and there are two more days until Christmas. Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You look demoralized, but you shouldn't. That was amazing.
I'll wait till I hear the playback, because that hurt. That hurt me a little bit. That hurt.
The next day, the girls are out shopping in the winter rain. They pass a small kiosk where Lena notices a bobblehead Santa Claus. This is perfect, she laughs and purchases it. I have to get this for Max to put in the truck.
I love how in that stand, what? It's all like these hand-knit goods, you know, multiple different, like, really kind of exquisite things. And she somehow finds a bobblehead Santa amidst
and
all of that.
Bobblehead Santa. Right there on top. It was meant to be. It was meant to be. And I have to get this for Max to put on the truck. What is going on with you two? Sheila asks. Nothing, Lena protests. Mm-hmm. I saw the sparks between you two last night. Well, there's sparks, Lena admits, but I don't think they're the good kind. They're all the good kind, Sheila informs. Yeah. But he thinks that I don't have my priorities straight and that I don't make enough room for things in my life that I need? Sheila asks, well, is he right?
Oh, Sheila.
Lena waits a beat to admire a gray sweater with a matching scarf in a shop window, but finally says, I don't know. Well, Sheila offers, when I opened my salon, I was working around the clock, and Daryl was the one who told me I needed balance. It's good to have somebody looking out for you. Yeah, Lena agrees. If I had somebody like that, it would be worth making room for. She looks at the dress again with longing in her eyes. It doesn't hurt to try it on, Sheila says with a winky winky. Wait, are we still talking about the dress? Lena asks, and Sheila just smiles, shrugs, and they make their way into the store. Across town, Daryl is busy fixing the truck while Max thanks him for all his help. I didn't realize it would be so tough getting home. No problem, Daryl says. But how are you doing, really? Max hesitates. It's an adjustment. But we don't hear anything else because Daryl has fixed the truck and it roars to life. Good as new, he says triumphantly, and the guys cheer and hug it out.
Yay!
And Tamara says, what the hell's going on with you, Max? What's going on? Back in front of the shop, Sheila says, I'm so glad you got that dress. Too bad you're not staying. It would have been perfect for tonight. Wait, what's happening tonight? Lena asks. Oh, nothing big. It's just a Christmas Carol event that Daryl's hosting. He's been planning it for weeks. Why didn't you say anything? Lena accuses. Because we knew you guys wanted to get back on the road, and Daryl just wanted to be there for Max with, you know, everything that was going on. What's going on? Lena interrupts, but the guys pull up and Sheila does not answer. And that drives me crazy because I would have had it up to here and would have grabbed Sheila and shook her and said, what the hell is going on? Tell me now.
And Sheila would have said, but she doesn't. You need to ask Max that.
Too much restraint. I would have like been probing her for all the information. Like, what is it, Sheila? Tell me, Sheila. Sheila, I'm your friend. We shop together. You know me. Come on, girl. Give. The guys pull up, the van purrs to a stop, and the guys pile out as Max proclaims, now that's the sound of freedom. That's totally my line, Lena says, laughing. By the way, Sheila over here has told me that Daryl has a big event tonight.
Ooh.
Daryl gives Sheila the eye. Sorry, honey, you know I can't keep a secret. Well, Lena continues, it winds up that Daryl's hosting this big caroling event. Max gives Daryl an accusatory look. Why didn't you tell me? Oh, Daryl says, you guys were in a rush and we didn't want you to feel obligated. Oh, yeah. You know, you guys have been so generous, but we really need to. But, Lena interrupts, we can always make time for family, giving Max a knowing look. Max and Lena exchange a glance and he agrees. Oh, okay, yeah, we're in. Daryl is delighted that they're staying. Let's go get ready, he says. You are going to love this.
That evening, the carol, Oh Christmas Tree, can be heard outside of an Elks Lodge-type building. Inside, the basic structure is a large room where everyone is gathered in holiday cheer to sing carols. Everyone claps, and back by the snack table, Lena exclaims to Mac, this town is epic! But Max is feeling the pressure and at this point really wants to make it home for the holidays. I totally agree, but we've got to go. Lena reassures him, it'll be fine. Just as Cousin Daryl hops on stage. We're about to take a break, but I wanted to thank you all for coming, especially my cousin Max. Having him visit near the holidays is so special. Now go get that cocoa and mingle before the next round of carols. Max and Lena head up to Daryl and Sheila and thank them so much for all that they have done for them. Max hugs Daryl, saying, that was fantastic. Thank you. They pull apart and Max says, I'd love to stay, but we really need to get going. Well, Daryl isn't having it. Y'all can't leave yet. First you have to lead a carol. Max looks like he's landed in his own personal nightmare. But Lena, looking extra cute in the gray sweater dress she picked up earlier that day, is game. Come on, she says, pulling Max onto the stage. Daryl shouts to the group, we're squeezing in a carol during the break so my cousin can represent before he heads off. Lena and Max stand on the stage, looking uncomfortable. Lena smiles nervously, takes a breath, and starts singing. We three kings of Orient are, Max joins in. Bearing gifts we travel so far. Field and fountain, they look at each other uncertainly, but for John. Moor and mountain, following yonder star. Then they bounce into the chorus, looking at each other when they were at a loss for words, one compensating for the other. They gain confidence, and by the end, they're gazing into each other's eyes as they sing. Guide us to thy perfect light. Their heart eyes are strong between these two. And I'm like, Lena, that is not a common carol. I would have known the first line and then been lost until the refrain. I'm wowed that they were able to complete the song, and complete it they did to enthusiastic applause.
Oh, 100%. I'd be all, we three kings.
Take it away, Lena.
And then I would have been like, star of wonder, star of light.
And then I would have made up some words that rhymed and seemed like they were right, but they actually weren't. And now they're on the road again. Just can't wait to get back on the road again. Lena is driving, and they are both basking in the glow of their triumphant carol. Max turns to Lena. But seriously, we three kings? A little obscure, don't you think? Lena gives him a deadpan look. It's a Christmas classic for the ages. Plus, do you really think I would have chosen something like Jingle Bells? Way too obvious. Max smiles and looks at her with heart eyes. Yeah, you're probably right. Thank you so much for visiting with my cousin, the caroling and all of that. I didn't realize how much I needed it, he says tenderly. Lena responds softly, of course. Hey, Sheila said that you've been going through it recently. Max withdraws. Oh yeah, just some family stuff. Lena is now in full-on fix-it mode. Well, I can help if you want. I deal with untangling tricky family dynamics. Just let me know. Max thanks her. There's a beat of silence, and then Lena says, oh, I caught you something. Go into that bag right there. He goes into that bag right there that's resting between them, and it's Bobblehead Santa! He flings the head, chuckles, and affixes it to the dash of their dog grooming van. This is fantastic. Okay, Santa, use that magic to magic us home. Unfortunately, Santa's magic wasn't quite as powerful as it could have been, so ultimately they need to stop for gas. It's about 10 o'clock in the evening, and they both slide out of the dog grooming van. Max starts pumping some gas, and Lena approaches him. I'm going to go buy some snacks. Can I borrow your phone? Max gets a sly smile on his face. Sure, just make sure to say hi to Greg. Lena grabs the phone. Thanks. And goes into the mini mart. Lena's mom picks up and puts her on speakerphone. Per usual. Lena says, hi, what are y'all doing? Mom happily says, Adam made his signature latkes. And the guy who plays Adam is Bread Douche from Wedding Every Weekend.
It is!
Yes, it is!
Oh my god, Bread Douche!
You Yes,
Bradouche.
It is.
Bradouche.
We love you, Bradouche.
Procure you some rosemary bread, douche.
Lena, worn down from missing out on everything and traveling for days, whines, "You didn't wait for me?" Adam pops into the conversation. "I got you, Lena. I'm going to make more for you when you get here." Lena responds, demoralized. It's not the same, but thank you. I'm just grabbing some tastiness from a gas station in Nebraska. Her dad pipes in, "Okay, well, looking forward to seeing you soon." Everybody sends their love and they get off the phone. Lena exits the gas station and sets up the sweet, salty, and protein snacks. That's chips, candy, and nuts she got in the van. Max goes into the store to pay for gas. While in the store, something catches his eye. An inspiration hits. What is that inspiration? We'll find out momentarily. Max heads towards the van and Lena enthusiastically informs him that their smorgasbord is all set up and they can hightail it on out of there. Max, feeling vulnerable, awkwardly says, I want to show you something. They walk down a path lined with Christmas trees and come upon a gazebo lit with twinkle lights. Lena is taken in by the whimsy of it all. Max says, "The guy from the gas station let me know about this place." He then starts speaking in hushed tones. "He said that there have been reindeer sightings here." Lena's eyes grow wide. "What? Are you kidding me?" "Shh, shh, shh," he says. "You've got to be quiet." And they tiptoe over to a bench and sit down. Max points towards Lena off into the distance. "I think I see one right there." And as soon as her head is turned, he throws on an antler headband and a blinking Rudolph nose. She says, "Ah, I think I missed it." Turns her head back towards Max and her Rudolph sighting has been realized. She starts laughing, delighted. Max says, "Surprise!" Then feeling self-conscious, he takes them off. "It's silly, I know." Lena responds, "No, I loved it. Thank you. And you should put those back on so we can take a selfie together." He amiably puts the antlers back on and they snap a selfie. They share a moment of silence, feeling feelings. And Lena says, "I'm sorry for being so defensive earlier. You're right. I probably do need to make room for..." And then Max's phone rings. "Intimus interruptus." He looks down at his phone and it's his mom. He stands up to take the call. She expresses worry about him getting home in time for dad's lunch. He assures her that he's doing everything he can, and after he gets off the phone, they hit the road. "Just can't wait to get back on the road again.
Dancing along. I can't wait to get back on the highway again. I can't wait to get on the road again." See, if ever we get called up for Christmas carols or karaoke impromptu, like, we are going to have to coordinate a playlist that we both know.
Yes.
It's late at night and they're driving on a deserted country road.
A deserted country yod.
Can't wait to get on the yod again. Lena is yawning and Max says, "You gotta pull over. You're exhausted." She waves an arm at him and says, "I will make you an agreement. You tell me what's going on and I'll pull over." He pauses and thinks it over. "Deal," he says. And she pulls off the road right next to a grove of trees. "I want to help you fix whatever's wrong," Lena says. "Well..." Max leaves to go to the back of the truck, saying, "You can't fix this." He lays down on the bench until Lena comes and lays across from him. He looks like a lost little boy and quietly says, "My dad died 6 months ago." Oh, Lena closes her eyes. "Max, I am so sorry." She starts getting a little misty-eyed. "This will be our first Christmas without him," he explains. And then goes through the ritual that will take place once he gets home. "We will fry a turkey," he continues. "It was the only time a year my mom would let my dad have it. But that's why I have a hard time going home, because I know when I get there, he won't be." Lena's eyes are glistening in the dark as she absorbs everything he is saying. I wish I had more time with him, Max goes on. But he was a different guy, you know, from a different time. He didn't even have a cell phone, and I don't think he got me or what I did. No, Lena argues. You're smart and funny and kind. I would be proud of you if I were your dad. He looks a little comforted, closes his eyes, and drifts off to sleep. Lena gently calls his name a few times, but he is out. She makes up her mind about something and quietly gets up, leaving him laying there.
Aw, you gave me the feels. I have so many feels.
Thank you very much. I know, me and dead dads. Boy, I bring it for the dead dads. Oh, let me dig deep into the recesses of my mind. You know, I'm feeling like I need a little payback. And I think that I want you to read this timestamp as Mater from the Disney movie Cars.
Oh, no. You got the Mater. I don't have the Mater.
I wasn't trying to do the Mater when I did the Mater. It was an accidental Mater.
December 24th, one day until Christmas. Not Mater at all, but hoo-wee, it's December 24th, one day until Christmas. Yippee-ki-yay-yay, motherfuckers. I think that's the one.
Oh, my God.
It's the next morning, and Lena wakes Max up by opening the back of the van. Good morning, sunshine! She has coffee, and he groggily gets up and notices the view behind her. There are tall mountains and greenery. Whoa, he exclaims. That looks like Colorado. It is, she says, nodding. You drove all night? He asks. She hands him the coffee. Yep, we should have you home within the hour. He looks at her seriously and says, I'm sorry about last night. Lena says, don't be. I don't need to fix everyone, but sometimes you need to know someone has your back.
Yeah.
And I have yours right now, yeah. Okay?
I got your back too, Tam.
He breathes out it. I have yours as well.
Yes.
We've got each other's backs. He breathes out a hefty gust of air, possibly not to get emotional, as she closes the door. They are almost home. She got him there just in time for his family's holiday lunch. They pull up to a light gray house with white trim on a spacious plot of land. Here we are, Lena says, satisfied. Cooper Family Farm. Max gathers his things and she says, don't forget bobblehead Santa. Oh, no, Max objects. I think he wants to live on the van. They have a sad, awkward goodbye and a hug that looks like it wants to be more. Aww. As he gets out, his family meets him on the porch and warmly greet him. His brother notices the van and says, huh, dog grooming? As Lena waves enthusiastically from the driver's seat. They slowly wave back as Max says, yeah, it's a long story. They go inside and Lena drives off. Mission accomplished, Lena. You creatively solved the shit out of that.
Yes!
She makes her way to her own familial home, which is a stylish colonial with a circular driveway, decked out in blue Christmas ribbons and monochromatic ornaments. She gets out of the van and takes a deep breath as her mom and sister rush out to greet her. They hug warmly and Lena finally gets to see her sister's pregnant belly in all its round glory.
Oh my gosh.
You're glowing, she gushes just as her dad comes out with his arms open. Peanut, he cries, and they hug. Ha, have you grown? She shakes her finger at him. Nice try. And does a mental head count. Where's Adam? Here he comes. He stands on the patio, smiling a little mischievous smile because right beside him is Greg.
Yay.
Lena smiles uncomfortably and gives him a small wave. And Greg says, oh, nice ride. Back at Cooper Farm, Max is in his dad's study. He picks up a framed photo of him standing with his arm around his dad. His mom comes in behind him and lets him know that it's time to set the table. I'm sorry I wasn't here, he said quietly. Everything feels so different now. Mom said she gets it, and they both express how much they miss Max's dad. I feel like, Max hesitates to find the words, that I never made him proud. Oh, honey, your father was very proud of you. He just had a problem expressing himself. You should have heard how he talked about you. My son is not a small thinker. He's a big thinker, and he knew exactly what our farming community needed. Max looks down with an aw shucks expression on his face, and she continues, if I had known you felt this way, I would have told you ages ago. He was always proud of you. They share a warm hug and say, I love you. And Mom asks, so, will you come and join us? Yeah, Max says, nodding. I'll be right there.
I think everyone can use words of affirmation and letting people know they're proud of them. So, I'm like...
Heck yeah, Corinne. Corinne, I am proud of you.
Ooh.
Just saying.
What are you proud of me for?
Being your fabulous self. Being so caring and giving.
Aww.
And supporting everybody and everything they do with 110%. Oh, and you're not a bad podcaster either.
Thank you. I'm glad that I'm maybe a little better than average. Maybe. I'm proud of you as well.
For what? Tell me all about it.
Because you follow your heart.
I'm like, where the fuck is my heart going to leave me next? Oh, God.
I know. You follow your heart even when it's really hard. And that it can be easy to ignore one's heart, but it spurred you into some really amazing changes in your life.
Lena is settled in at home in the kitchen, happily decorating the roof of the gingerbread house while her mom and sister decorate cookies. Not only did they save the roof for her, they're also going to be doing a Christmas charades rematch. Lena is excited, but there's still the elephant in the room, Greg. Lena glances over at Greg, who is in the next room chatting with her dad and brother-in-law. She clears her throat. So, is Greg always here? Mom, frosting a cookie, glances up. Not always. She turns her attention to the frosting, trying to be nonchalant. Did you know he just bought a house? Lena grits her teeth. No, Mom, I didn't. Just then, Greg moseys on over. Oh, hey there, Lena. He stands up awkwardly at the table, and Mom says, would you like a cookie, Greg? He scoops one up and crunches it. This is so delicious, he says with his mouth full. What do you put in these cookies? All the ladies around the table exclaim, love. And then Mom says to Sammy, let's go see if our hubbies want some cookies. Settle, Mom. Settle. Suddenly, Greg and Lena are alone. Will they make out? Will they go and have sex underneath the dining room table? We'll find out soon. Greg and Lena are alone, and Lena tries to make some polite small talk. That's not small
and
talk.
And yawns right in his face like Corinne just did.
So, you got a house, eh? Greg smiles. Oh, yeah. Thought it was time to start laying down some roots. I'm thinking my days of sowing my wild oats are over, and I'm ready to start a new phase. Lena feels so awkward. Yeah, I'm just gonna come right out and say this. I don't know what Mom has been saying, and I want to be clear. I know we had a Ferris wheel moment in high school, but I'm not interested. Greg pauses. You can see his brain hamster putting together the puzzle pieces. No. Same page. Don't worry about it. He leans over and whispers to her conspiratorially. My parents are gone for the holidays, and your mom is a great cook. I'm just here for the food. Don't tell Adam. Lena is happy with the end result, but also kind of feels rejected. Greg walks off to join the rest of the fam in the next room. Just then, Sammy comes up to Lena holding the cell phone. The phone's for you, she says, puzzled. Lena picks it up, and it's Joe from the Christmas tree lot. He's got her phone and would love to send it to her. I think he figured out her passcode, which was probably 1234. Joe sends his regards to Max, and Lena gets a look of sadness in her eyes. She misses that man. Lena wishes Joe a Merry Christmas, and they hang up. Back at the Cooper farm, Max's mom and brother Curtis are sitting down to a full-on Christmas feast with just three of them.
I thought the same thing. Because Mom's all, I need your help for lunch with the three of us.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I thought it was going to be some kind of memorial service where there's just going to be people hanging out and eating and just sort of celebrating the dad. And
nope, just the three of them sitting around a table with a giant fried turkey.
They probably couldn't secure the hall with their Hallmark budget. So they're just like, well, we'll just do it around the dining room table and call it a day.
I think it was COVID more than anything because they were having to work with that. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which explains why they had an outdoor barbecue in the middle of winter and other events like that.
Max makes a toast. It's weird celebrating without him, but I think he'd be so happy that the both of you are taking such good care of the farm and that I'm doing all right, too. To Dad. They raise and clink their wine glasses that look like they have cranberry juice in them. To Dad, they all say. Just then, there's a honk outside. It's the luggage! Yay! It's now evening time at Lena's parents' house. Everyone, including Greg, is sitting around the dining room table having idle chit-chat and munching on tasty food. Sammy looks across at Lena, who looks miserable and hasn't said a word. Are you okay? All heads swivel towards Lena, and she quickly plays it off. Totally! I'm so happy to be home. But Mom knows that something is amiss. Lena, it's okay. You can tell us. What happens at Christmas Eve dinner stays at Christmas Eve dinner.
Okay. Oh, it turned into Fight Club. I gotcha.
Food Fight Club.
Lena doesn't want to share, but decides that it's better if she does. Otherwise, people will keep on staring at her throughout dinner. She says, okay, I met someone, or should I say re-met someone, and I've never felt this way, but I'm not sure if he feels the same way. All heads swivel towards Greg, who is busy shoveling food into his mouth. He looks up and says, with his mouth full, oh, no, not me. It's not like that between us. Lena confirms, yeah, not Greg. Sammy is now super curious. Who is it? Just then, Lena is saved by the doorbell ringing. Mom grabs the door and calls out to Lena, your luggage is here. Mom goes back to the table and Lena excitedly rushes towards the door. And standing there with her luggage is
Max.
Apparently, the airline mixed things up and gave him her luggage. Lena is very grateful and looking at him with hearts in her eyes. The weather is supposed to be cold. It's Colorado in the wintertime, but they are standing there with the door open. Choose a side. Choose a side. Anywho, Max says to Lena, I want you to know that I have your back too. Thanks for having mine. You were right. I told my mom how I was feeling and she cleared a lot of things up for me. It was a good moment. Lena smiles and starts inviting him inside when he says to her, I've got something for you. Grab your coat. She grabs her coat and walks outside with Max. He takes her over to the giant pine tree in their yard, and hanging from it is a stocking. Max says, I guess Santa came early this year. She reaches her hand into the stocking and pulls out the train tickets they never used. Keep digging, he says. Lena pulls out a large, postcard-sized framed photo of the nativity selfie. They both chuckle over the experience. She says, "Up."
Yeah, that family was so nice.
Too much wine.
She says,
dinner.
What now?
She says, that family was so nice. She reaches in again and pulls out another large postcard-sized framed photo. But this time, it's of the two of them with Max wearing the antler headband. She looks up at him lovingly. Thank you. This all means so much to me, she says. Max looks at her with a mixture of excitement and heart eyes. I've never been one to put myself out there, but this journey we went on together, it changed me. You told me that I should express how I feel more, and you changed me. Through everything, you never gave up. You were open-hearted and open to new experiences. And because of that, you opened up my world and heart as well. I know I doubted you at times. Lena looks at him with a soft smile. A little bit. And Max continues, but I don't want this journey to end. I don't want our journey to end.
Lena looks at him, glowing with the light of love. I don't want it to either. My life in New York is so full, but it would be even more complete with you in it. They both smile goofily at each other with heart eyes, take a step towards each other, and kiss. And it was lovely. Or Tam will let me know if it wasn't. What did you think about the kiss? Because sometimes I get swept up in the magic of the moment.
I loved it because Lena goes and she grabs his face and just kisses the hell out of him. It wasn't like a peck. It wasn't like extending the lips too much so you don't have to touch fully. It was like, I'm going to kiss you and I'm going to kiss you good.
It was a committed kiss and they held it for a while.
It was. And then he said, reach back in the stocking. And there was an engagement ring. Yay, they get to spend the rest of their life together. No.
She's totally making that up, gentle listeners.
I'm still wondering if that day is going to come, like when we speculate, I'm going to buy you a dress. Is it a wedding dress? I'm going to get you a... Don't say ring, don't say ring, don't say ring.
The camera pulls out and Lena says, so what are your plans for Christmas dinner? And we cut to the next day. I get to instruct you.
Oh, God.
You're going to be so good at this one. You remember in Christmas Movie Christmas?
Uh-huh.
Where there was the little girl?
Yes.
I want you to do our final date in the voice of London.
London, the cutest little girl from A Christmas Movie Christmas. Oh, it's been so long.
And the final day is December 25th. We are at Christmas Day.
Yes!
Oh, you have made the bells of my heart jingle jangle. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
It's Christmas, and Mom and everyone, including Greg, is gathered at Lena's parents' house. And when I say everyone, I mean everyone, including Max's mom and brother. Mom brings out the roast and everyone claps. I really think that Greg and Max's brother should have been seated together, because who knows, they could have had a love connection. Max makes a toast. Lena drove all night to get us home in time for Christmas, and I'm so grateful not only to be here with my family, but that I found a new home for my heart with Lena as well. Merry Christmas. Max and Lena clasp hands, and they look at each other adoringly. Lena raises a glass. Merry Christmas! Cheers! They all toast and everyone is happy. The end.
Yeah!
Merry Christmas, everybody!
London! Oh, Corinne, what do you give cross-country Christmas?
Oh, well, I give... You know what? I'm thinking about it. I actually think I'm going to give it 5 dry kisses.
What? What? Is this your first 5 dry kiss movie?
I think I might have done Playing Cupid as a 5 dry kiss movie. And I love that movie, so.
Wow.
But yes, this is certainly my first 5 dry kiss Christmas movie. Gotta say, it's not as diverse as I would have liked, but it had some nice diversity in there. It had...
Mm-hmm.
Speaking roles of somebody who is more than like, may I help you, sir? Why, yes, I will order you that lamb or whatever, you know. It had people who had actual personalities and roles who were diverse. It kind of gets a check on that front. Rachel Lee Cook and Grayston Holt. I liked how their chemistry grew over time. I felt like their relationship grew, and I felt like he opened up more and more throughout the movie, and that was really nice to see his development as a character. It was a lot of fun, and I loved her dialogue, Rachel Lee Cook's dialogue as well. So, and honestly, the dialogue in this movie, just period, is a lot of it is like stuff that I would write, and I had a really hard time making up original words for this script because of it, because I was like, that's how I would say it, gosh darn it. So that was frustrating, but I also was like, well, it is funny, so and I'm hilarious.
No. So, yeah, this took me on a great adventure. It had a nice character arc in it. And it had Sheila, who I still maintain is the coolest character I've seen in a Hallmark movie. But I'm just judging that by her hair and outfit. Now, the second coolest character who actually has proof behind her coolosity is in a terrible Hallmark Christmas movie about a snow maze. But that's a tale for another day.
Ooh, that sounds awful.
Oh, the girl was hella cool, though.
A movie about a snow maze sounds absolutely not compelling whatsoever.
It really wasn't, she was compelling.
Then you go through the maze, and you try to find your way through the maze, and you get lost in the maze.
And then you get frozen in the maze, and then you think that the frozen people are statues, and it gets really difficult.
That's an interesting twist.
I know. You're like, I'm liking this more now. What did you think of this movie? What are you rating it?
I'm going to give it a strong, solid 4.5 stars.
Ooh.
I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I absolutely am a fan of Rachel Lee Cook. I was a fan before, but now I'm fangirling for her hardcore. I liked her rapport with Grayson Holt. I loved Rachel Lee Cook. I wasn't feeling Grayson Holt all that much. I agree that he kind of opened up at the end, but I'm kind of fickle, I guess. I don't know. I don't know why he just wasn't compelling to me. I mean, he didn't warm my heart like a surly Paul Campbell. Like surly Paul Campbell, love surly Paul Campbell. Surly Grayson Holt didn't warm up to him as much.
I really like a reserved nerdy guy, and he fills that spot, so.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
I like the hippie that makes driftwood sculptures. That's my sweet spot. But that being said, although the movie was a lot of fun and it had the wonderful Rachel Lee Cook in it, there was some plot lines that I recognized from other movies. Like I said, it's had strong Planes, Trains, and Automobile vibes in the beginning. Sure. And then when that elf was driving them around in the car, I felt like I've seen that in a couple of like regular movies too.
Yeah, because Hallmark movies are so original in their plot lines.
I'm not saying they're original, but like I full on was like, this is the plot of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles if Steve Martin and John Candy were in place of Grayson and Rachel. So that like took me out of it. There was a part where it separated and it went on its own path and then it became lovely. But that first couple of scenes where I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Seriously? But still, I love Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So I still enjoyed it immensely. Uh-huh. It's just that I watched that movie every Thanksgiving. And so maybe that's why it was ingrained in my head while I was watching this. Mm-hmm. But I did like it. And it gets a strong 4.5 stars for me.
Nice.
4.5 dry kisses. Damn it. 4.5 dry kisses. How many times am I going to do that? 4.5 dry kisses.
We are heading into the month of August. This is our last Christmas in July movie. We're saying goodbye to the jingle jangle of the halfway holiday season. And hello to, we will probably change the name, but for now, Drunken August.
Which I thoroughly plan on being.
This August will be the month of movies that have drinking themes in them. More specifically, the making of alcoholic beverages. Yes. There will be vineyards. There will be
breweries.
No breweries. There's a pub, though, that has a guy who makes his own whiskey, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're going to start off the month of Drunken August with
Autumn in the Vineyard, the episode where I was slightly inebriated and hungover from an edible the day before, so it's perfect.
So this is an episode that we recorded earlier on.
Earlier on.
Yeah, in our podcasting career, What Dry Kiss. And we've been saving it for a special moment. And we think this is a special moment that y'all have been waiting for. You get to hear Tamara sound like Mater. It's going to be amazing.
You're welcome.
If you have thoughts about Cross Country Christmas, please email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com.
Please follow us on social media on the Instagram, Facebook, and Twitters at onedrykiss, one spelled O-N-E. And as always, if you can, please rate and review us. We would love to hear this 5-star reviews all over the place. So make sure that if you like our show, you let us know. And so we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah! We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
There's so, what's the word, where you love your sister or brother?
Where you love
Hallmark movies are...
ubiquitous? No, no. Are, oh, incestuous. No. You mean love.
Incestuous.
You mean yes, sexy Hallmark love. Yes,
Hallmark movies are incestuous.
I was like, I thought you just meant love, like, oh, I love you.
No, like no. The dirty kind, rinky, the rinky. Naughty kind of love, the forbidden kind.
Oh, my God.